for the nation. We're going to certainly plead the blood of Jesus over this country. Father, we thank you for the work that Jesus has done on the cross for us. And we plead the blood of Jesus over this nation as we go through this great birthing pain right now, as we're going into a whole new deal. Father, I ask that you help people look to you and your victory and see this thing working out great. And not look at the circumstances, but look to the finished work of Christ and see him as the absolute victor over this world. And Father, for the persecuted Christians all over the world and in this country, Father, I ask that as the heat gets turned up in this country, and it will, I ask that you show people how to stand strong and be bold in their faith so that they will come through shining with the glory of God in every way. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? And we'll celebrate the sacrifice of Christ. To some people, it may sound strange for me to tell them to celebrate the sacrifice of Christ. But you really, literally do need to celebrate that sacrifice. Without that sacrifice, there's nothing. Without the work of Jesus on that cross, you can't even imagine the persecution. We would have no strength in us to have victory in any direction. It truly is all about Jesus. And Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. And we literally look at this bread. That this bread represents the body of Christ. When we look at this bread, you'll notice that it's made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus' body was absolutely sinless and is absolutely sinless. There was no sin-stained blood in him. That's why when he took our place on the cross, he set us free. Also, this bread had been beaten and pounded flat. Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. You know, people need healing in a lot of different areas. Certainly, you know, when we get sick, we need physical healing. But sometimes people have internal hurts. People have been wounded internally that they keep buried in there. You know, sometimes things happen to people when they're children that are so horrible that they don't know how to deal with it and they bury it. I want you to know that Jesus was bruised internally too for that healing. You can call on him during this time, ask him to heal your broken heart. Also, you notice that this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. You know, every time Jesus shed blood, he paid for us to have some redemption in some area. You know, he shed blood out of his forehead. He shed blood out of his hands and his feet and certainly out of his side. But every time he shed blood, it was for us, for more freedom. And if you look on this, there are stripes in this bread. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. We already were healed 2,000 years ago. Our healing was paid for before our sins were paid for. Because he had to take those stripes before he got on that cross. And if you look, this bread is slightly burned. It means the fiery wrath of God's judgment was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on him. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we take his broken body and we think about his sacrifice and we receive his healing for our bodies. You can receive healing for your souls too. The Bible says that he would mend our shattered souls. Sometimes people get hurt so deeply that it shatters their soul. You've heard of split personalities? That comes from something terrible happening to somebody. Jesus heals that too. That shed blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. It's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go into God's presence and we can receive mercy and grace in a time of need. And it's because of that shed blood of Jesus that our sins are completely washed away, completely gone. And you've been made a new creature in Christ, and you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That blood of Jesus protects us. That blood of Jesus saves us. That blood of Jesus heals us. And that blood of Jesus completely washes away our sin and seals in the New Testament promises for us. We thank you for this. Time doing communion is because I don't want it to be a religious habit. I don't want it to be something that we do every Sunday. I don't want it to be something that we do before church. I want it to do something that when we look at it, we release our faith in it, we realize why we're doing it, and we do it on purpose so that we can receive the benefits of it. Amen? I don't want it to ever become a religious habit. We need to make sure we discern the body of Christ every time we take it so that we can expect to have healing and health in our body. Amen? All right, let's have a Bible study. Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Verse 1. Says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I love Romans chapter 8. The devil hates Romans chapter 8. But I want you to notice something. Right at the very beginning of that verse, it says, there is therefore. Whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, go to the preceding chapter and find out why that therefore is therefore. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Did you notice the word I, me, and my? The words I, me, and my were mentioned 37 times. How many times have you said, I am not going to do this again? A lot. You know, before I got born again, I was kind of a wild thing. And it seemed like I'd always run into these church people. And they always had the same story for me. Said, you need to quit drinking, you need to quit smoking, you need to quit hanging out at the bar, you need to quit running around with wild women, and you need to go get married to some young girl and go to church. And I stand there scratching my head and I said, lady, I think I said, you know how many times I quit drinking? Every morning, without fail, I'd quit drinking. And every afternoon, without fail, I'd start back up again. What they were telling me to do is to stop fulfilling the lust of the flesh so that I could walk in the Spirit, which is just exactly opposite of what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says to walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The church has a bad habit of this, telling people, you get your act together and clean up, quit drinking, quit smoking, and go to church. And that guy's sitting there saying, you don't know how many times I've tried that. What the church needs to do is say, look, Jesus did not come here to condemn you. He came here to save you. Come to church as you are and let Jesus love you into a position where your life has changed. You know, one of my favorite things, it's kind of ornery of me, but it grinds religious people to the bone. They hate it. They absolutely hate it when I do this. But I do it on purpose, but I do it because it's right. I run across a lot of alcoholics, and I invite them to church. And you can see they want to go. But they have some reservations. I say, look, this is what you really need to do. Sunday morning, when you're getting ready, have a toddy and come to church. Right. That makes a lot of people mad. I don't care. I really don't. Because I don't want that guy to go into DTs while he's sitting in church. I want him to stay alive long enough for God's word to get inside of him, to change him from the inside out. Do you realize how many times that guy has tried to quit drinking? Numerous times. And he doesn't need some old religious biddy telling him to get his life together before he comes to church. What he needs is somebody to say, look, man, Jesus is not mad at you. He died on the cross for your sins. Whatever you're facing in life, Jesus can conquer this with his word. He wants you to come to him just the way you are. Do you realize all of us did that? All of us were nasty creatures before we got born again. I don't care how good you lived your life. Before you got born again, you were a nasty creature. God loved you, and Jesus died on the cross for you, but you were a Gentile. Until you said, Jesus, be my Lord. You were sin-stained and not fit for the presence of God. Only when the blood of Jesus was applied to you did you get clean enough to go into the presence of God. Now, did I say you were perfect? Spiritually, you were made perfect. But here's the thing about redemption that you have to understand. Redemption is a messy process. Redemption is a messy process. Somebody gets born again. And that's great. Praise God. They've been washed by the blood of Jesus. They're still attached to their soul. Their soul did not get born again. Did you know that? The Bible says that you have to have your mind renewed to the Word of God. Oh Lord, I wish I could get back to my notes, but it's the Holy Spirit doing this, so we're just going to have to roll with it. I don't know where we're going. He says, your mind has to be renewed by the Word of God. So now you can see where people are in this process. There's some people that have gotten a little bit of word into them and they're growing, you know. And God is the husbandman. He has these people. He's molding. You know, people are like onions. You know, when you get born again, you get this crusty, nasty, dried up layer of skin on you. And God peels that off. And then you grow a little bit, and then we find out there's a little better, but it's still tough skin. God peels that off. We start getting down into some better onion. The more word people get into them, and the more time they spend with Jesus, the more this layers of onion gets peeled off, till finally you get down to this heart of onion. Or right down to the very heart thing. That's called sanctification. When you get born again, you get sanctified. You immediately get set apart for God's purposes. But sanctification, there is an ongoing sanctification. And you can take a step further, and God will say, you know, since he's the husbandman and he's taking care of the vine, you'll have these branches. He'll say, just lose this. Lose this habit that you have. He'll say, no. I like that heaven. It's mine. You're a loser. Just let it go. Okay. So you lose that one. You took another step into the sanctification process. So people kind of relax in that for a little while and go along, and pretty soon God will say, there's this other thing you do. Why don't we just lose that one? And you finally lose that one, and he takes you a step farther. And then pretty soon he takes you a step farther. And pretty soon he takes you a step farther. Till pretty soon you've walked far enough with him and you glance back at your old life, you don't recognize yourself anymore. You're not the same person. The part where it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, or verse 17, says, you've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's starting to take effect. Jesus said to come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, that need rest. He said, learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. The more we look to Jesus, and the more we learn of him, the more we're going to change. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We try hard to change. We're sincere to change. And it doesn't happen. Well, all the while, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. See, we get our eyes on ourselves, and we start losing the ground immediately. When we're supposed to be focused on Jesus, focus on him. Focus on him on his cross. Focus in his death, burial, and his resurrection. You start focusing on those things that Jesus did in you, that Jesus did for you, that Jesus is doing through you. When you start focusing on those new creation realities, you're going to change. You won't be the same human being anymore. So how do we focus on a new creation reality? All my life, I've been told all these different things that I couldn't do. They'd say, you can't do this because you're from the wrong family. You can't do this because you don't have enough money. You can't do this because you quit school. You can't do this. The excuses were innumerable. And then I got born again and I found out in the Bible where it said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That was like one of my first Bible verses. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I took that to heart. I started memorizing that. I'd run around telling myself, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And then I added to it, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I found out that the limitations that were on my life were the limitations that I had accepted. Then I found out that Jesus set me free from all that. And then I started doing all these things that all these people said that I couldn't do. And then one day I went home. And I was standing in a crowd There's a whole bunch of these important people that had been telling me all these things that I couldn't do all my life. And they asked me, said, what are you doing these days? I said, well, I run a trucking company in Midland, Texas that has $1 million a month invoices. What? True story. Eighth grade education. It's not your talent. It's not your knowledge. It's not your ability. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. When you focus on Jesus, all things become possible. But you got to get your focus on Him. It's got to be all about Him. And then you go forward. When you get born again, you get a light turned on inside of you. And you walk around and you know that you believe that Jesus, that God raised Jesus back to life, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's your light. You just got turned on. Amen? That may be the only light you have. But then you go through the Bible and you start seeing stuff and you start learning new things, and then one day you find out, hey, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's another light. And then pretty soon, you go in there, you find out, hey, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Boom. And then you find out, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Boom, there's another light. Pretty soon, if you'll keep going, what you're doing is you're renewing your mind, but you're feeding your spirit, so your spirit can have ascendancy over the body and over your mind. Joyce Myers wrote a book called The Battlefield of the Mind. That's where most of our battles are fought. Amen. In your thought process. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you are right. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what anybody else has experienced. As a man believes this in his heart, so is he. If you believe you can do it, you can do it. If you don't believe you can do it, don't even try it. What you focus your attention to is what's going to spring forth out of your heart. I want you to go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now. Right now. Circle that word now. This is an important word. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The minute you get born again, you get brought into Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. The minute you get born again, you become part of the body of Christ. You get baptized into the body of Christ. That's the one baptism that is necessary to salvation. Being born again. Now there's no condemnation to you. This is a very important word. No condemnation. If God is not condemning you, then who do you suppose it is that is condemning you? Satan. Satan's favorite weapon to beat up on Christians with is the law. When you try to live by the law and you fail, and you will, I promise you, no man has ever fulfilled the law except Jesus. When you try to fulfill the law, and you make a mistake, He will come to you and remind you. Here's a couple ways He does it. You call yourself a Christian? I seen you driving down the road, and I seen that one-fingered hand salute you gave that guy that got in your way. You go to church and shout hallelujah? After I seen the way you talk to your neighbor? When you put your faith in your own abilities to earn your righteousness, you're going to fail. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ, His ability to fill, His ability to perform, and that your righteousness is in Him and Him alone. Not your good works. I don't care how talented you are, you're not talented enough to do anything that could trump the blood of Jesus. No condemnation. When a man is under condemnation, he won't have confidence and boldness with God. And God wants you to have confidence and boldness with Him. He wants you to have confidence and boldness in the things of God in prayer. He wants you to boldly pick up the name of Jesus and go out there and do things that the world needs done. Look at verse 2. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You notice how the conversation has changed. Because it went from I, me, and my efforts, my try. What can I do? How can I do this? To in Christ Jesus, I'm free. I'm telling you, when you got born again, you got put into the dispensation of grace. Now it's about Jesus and what He did. Not about you and what you can do. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't cool enough to do anything good enough for salvation. You don't have it in you. You ain't cool enough to deserve God's blessing. It's all about Him. And the more you focus on Jesus and what He did, the more Him is going to flow through you. Now, let's go to the next verse here. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. The law, well, you've heard me say this a lot of times, but I'm going to go back here and I'm going to read it to you right out of the Bible just so you don't think that it's something that I thought of. Now I got to find it here. In chapter 7, verse 12, it says, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. For the law is holy, just and good. But the law will not do one single thing to help you be holy, just, and good. Paul called it the ministry of sin and death. If anybody knew the law, it was Paul. Paul knew the law inside and out. He had it memorized. He was studying to be the high priest. He knew the law. He called himself, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was everything that he needed to be a high priest. And he counted it all as rubbish. He said, it's not for you. He said, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can heal you. Only Jesus can make you right. Verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So how do you walk after the Spirit? Look, Jesus, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's my salvation. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that by His stripes I was healed. That's my salvation. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that God will supply all of my needs according to my good behavior. Huh? That God will supply all of my needs because I go to church every time the door swings open. That God will supply all of my needs because I'm a really good person. God will supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Circle that word according when you get to that verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not out of His riches in glory. See, if I have $100 and I give you 10, I mean, I only have $90. Because that's out of my riches. I mean, there's only 9 more of you that can get $10. I mean, somebody's going to get left out. But that's not the way God does things. He says it's according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So if He gives Paula $100, that didn't change anything with Him. He can give me $100, and He can give you $100, and He can give you $100, and He still have $100 for everybody else. And it still hasn't changed anything with Him. Because it's according to. I've seen a lot of Christians get mad when they see somebody get blessed. They look at them and they say, that guy, he's almost a heathen. I go to church every time the door swings open. I work at church. I do this. I do that. Heck, I even sing every other Sunday. I don't do anything wrong. I don't do anything bad. All this poor guy did was just sat there and believed God for His blessing. The other person is trying to earn it. Because he was trying to show where this guy was lacking in righteousness, where they weren't. You have to understand, The minute you get born again, you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you are in right standing. The minute you get born again, you are as righteous as you're ever going to be. God is going to bless you according to what you believe. Not according to what you do. According to what you believe you receive. The sky is the limit as far as God's concerned. He has a bright future for you. And He has an abundance of things that He wants you to receive. Notice that? Not give. As far as God is concerned, He's already given it. He's already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. But just like when you got born again, He gave you salvation when Jesus got on the cross. Right? You didn't receive it until May 19, 2012. Whenever you said, "Jesus be my Lord." Right? You didn't receive it until you got born again that day. That's when you received your salvation. That's how you're going to get your healing. When you believe, you receive it. Because God's already given it to you. That's how you're going to get your finances. When you believe, you receive it. Because He's already given it to you. He's already made it happen. You just have to receive it. But you're going to have to believe it first. God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 to meditate on my word day and night. That's true for us. We meditate on that word day and night. Don't let it depart from your tongue. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your mouth. Keep saying it, not just out of memorization, not just so you can memorize a Bible verse, but so you can get it in your heart. You're going to believe what you feed on. Amen. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in His death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for everything that Jesus is doing for us right now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He truly is the author and finisher of our faith. So, Father, we thank you that as we look to Him, He will guide our paths. Holy Spirit will give us more revelation of Him. And the more revelation we get of who Jesus is, the more of Him that is going to happen to us. We'll realize that everything we need is wrapped up in the person of Jesus. We'll receive it with Him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have coffee and snacks and fellowship back here. Everybody come on back and have some. And a board meeting, we have a board meeting too, so.